Hello, welcome listeners and market participants to KBRA's European Credit Podcast, Conversations in European Credit. I am Gordon Kerr, Head of European Research at KBRA, and today I am joined by Gabriele Gramazio from our Structured Credit Ratings team.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me again.
Today, we will be covering the topic of focus amongst European collateralized loan obligation investors, the end of reinvestment periods. A report on the topic titled Navigating European CLO Tail Risk, Mind the Amortization Gap, can be found on KBRA.com along with a number of related publications, such as our report earlier this year about the prospect for direct lending CLOs in Europe, as well as a number of other reports on the private credit world. Jump onto the website and have a look. They are definitely worth the read. An increasing number of European CLO transactions have reached the end of their reinvestment period and are not expected to be refinanced in the near term due to the prevailing rate environment. As such, they have begun to amortize and return principal to noteholders. However, the rate of paydown can be influenced by a number of factors that can cause variability in the outstanding life across transactions, or even against expectations at the time of the transaction closing. As stated in the title, it is worth minding the gap that has developed across the market. So let's get the conversation started. Until a few years ago, amid low interest rates, tight spreads, and abundant loan supply, broadly syndicated loan CLOs felt like virtually perpetual instruments as they were regularly refinanced, reset, or reissued. Gabriele, maybe just quickly for our listeners that are not particularly knowledgeable about the CLO market, can you give us a bit of background on what we are talking about with reinvestment periods and amortization?
Yes, absolutely. Look, CLOs, as we know, are a portfolio of syndicated loans, and typically these loans have 5 to 6 years maturity, but are pooled into a structure where they are actively managed by portfolio managers. Now, the liability of the CLO are established to have a fixed maturity, so effectively they can provide a lending term and an expected life for the transaction. The kind of legal final maturity of these notes tends to be between 10 and 15 years. CLO transactions have their investment period end date. So once the transaction has reached this milestone in the life of the deal, the portfolio is meant to wind down with the maturity or the sale of the loans in the collateral pool, paying down the notes of the CLO structure as per the documentation terms. Typically, European CLO transaction will pay down sequentially, with the most senior tranche amortizing first.
Thanks. I think that explains things well and sets us up for the topic at hand. In the past year or so, interest rates of CLO liabilities have not been accommodative to warrant the potential reset or refinancing of a transaction. So what is happening with regards to reinvestment periods for the transactions in the market now?
You're right. The market hasn't been ideal for either resets and refinancing. And as a result of these, roughly, we calculate that a third of the outstanding European CLO market has reached the end of their investment periods and have begun, in some cases, to amortize the notes of the transaction. Now, we also calculate that a further 13% is expected to end their investment period in 2024, so this year. This is the first time amortization has happened on this scale for, let's say, the CLO 2.0, and after, obviously, the GFC. Out of the transaction that currently ended their investment period, the majority that we have observed are from the 2018 vintage, and these represent nearly all the vintage outstanding. Similarly, nearly all the 2017 vintage is currently amortizing.
Very interesting, Gabriele. However, why would an investor actually care about this dynamic? I mean, what is important for them to consider?
Look, Gordon, this aspect of the market is of extreme importance for the investor as the amortization of the transaction impacts their rates of return, which are determined by the expected life, obviously, of the notes. So most noteholders prefer to have an idea of the certainty of a transaction duration and cash flows. Now, when we look at the equity side of a CLO structure, assuming that the underlying collateral continues to perform and there are minimal realized losses, an extension of the structure is preferred from that perspective in order to maintain distributions as long as possible, which would dwindle if the transaction were allowed to amortize. So further, the rate differential between finding and investing may potentially provide higher returns that could have been achieved in a new structure, further incentivizing an extension of the structure.
Interesting. So how do market players navigate through this risk?
Well, obviously, CLO documentation plays a particularly important role when their investment period ends. So it is especially important for investors to pay attention to what restrictions are in place. It is worth noting that the European CLO market has been a resilient asset class so far, with competent managers and resilient structures. However, when a CLO enters the extension, this is broadly a credit negative, as collateral, also from a rating agency perspective, gets reinvested for longer, effectively exposing the structure to the risk of additional defaults and potential deterioration in collateral credit quality. Now, at the same time, as a rating agency, we also take into consideration the restrictions placed on the manager in the post-reinvestment period, which effectively are designed to limit the risk of this deterioration happening, even in the event of extension.
Okay, so after the end of the reinvestment period, the manager can usually continue to reinvest cash flows resulting from the unscheduled principal payments, as you outline. So managers are typically allowed to sell loans of what are referred to as credit risk or credit improved assets at any time, and they more recently include loss mitigation obligations or workout loans. The idea of offering this flexibility is to preserve or enhance the ultimate recovery value of the position and provide the manager with the ability to either avoid further losses or realize gains in certain situations. However, as you said, this flexibility has guardrails with the documentation restriction on how far a manager can go. Can you give us an outline of what these restrictions can be and how they will work?
Yes, of course. Let's start with an easy one. The par of the newly purchased assets typically needs to be equal to or above the par of the asset from which the prepayments are coming from. This is done to ensure essentially that the value of the pars of the CLO is not eroded. Also, depending on transaction documentation, satisfaction of all the coverage tests before and after the acquisition of the new assets will need to be met.
Okay, so what are these tests then?
So look, these are typically the collateral quality test and the portfolio profile test. And I'm thinking about, you know, the WARF test. So is the weighted average rating factor. And in terms of profile test, the CCC limit of 7.5%. So these will not be passed on a maintain or improve basis during their investment period. Maintain or improve requires the test to still be met at a similar level or improved upon with any reinvestment. During their post-reinvestment period, so during the amortization period, these will need to be met on a stricter satisfied basis. Additionally, an entire new set of conditions apply, including the provision that the credit rating and final maturity of the newly purchased asset must be equal to or better than that of the asset that was prepaid or sold. Now, I think one of the most restricting conditions for managers to comply when reinvesting during the amortization period is often the wall test, which by design becomes more stringent as time passes by. Depending on the CLO year of closing and senior CLO original investors, the rules and exception around the satisfaction of the wall test vary, in some cases vary greatly. During the amortization period, the wall test can often be satisfied on a maintain or improve basis if the wall was passing, for instance, on the last day of their investment period. In some other cases, the wall test was crystallized at fixed wall until the end of their investment period. In some other cases, these wall tests need to be satisfied all the time. So in addition, documentation frequently exempts a varying percentage of assets undergoing maturity extension from being included in the wall test calculation. So all these documentation flexibilities that we have touched upon are the product of the broader contractual market dynamics and can give managers the ability to extend the life of their CLOs.
Okay, sorry, just to highlight there, wall test is weighted average life, just for everyone's purposes. Let's dig into the results of the analysis that we've undertaken. So first of all, let me outline to everyone how we went about this comparison. So KBRA went and gathered information from Intex on the latest reported data as of the end of February 2024 and analyzed the market for transactions that have ended their reinvestment periods. Then we took a look at a CLO manager's weighted average note factor of the most senior AAA tranche. And in total, we ended up with 180 deals that passed the end of their reinvestment period from a total of 44 different managers. We then compared these weighted averages across the market. So when we did that comparison, Gabriele, you want to outline to us what exactly we found?
Yeah, look, the results were actually very interesting and quite revealing. Broadly speaking, I think we found that there is a significant dispersion among the manager's average note factor. So we're talking about this AAA factor. While some of these, you know, is probably influenced by, you know, note size, lot refinancing, or other market-related factors, the majority of the paydown come from amortization, which can vary significantly across the various managers in the European CLO market. So after 12 interest payment periods, or let's say 3 years after the end of their investment period, manager factors for the highest rated tranches range between 0 to 0.84.
Okay, just to clarify, a factor of 0 indicates the full pay down of the senior tranche, whereas a factor of 1 indicates the full principal remains outstanding.
Yeah, exactly. And as the 6th reporting period, or let's say 1.5 years after the end of their investment period, this transaction factor range from 0.47 to 1 across the 39 different manager for that transaction in the amortization for that length of time. The fastest average manager senior AAA security that we have observed amortized to 0 after only 10 periods, while the slowest one did not even start to pay down until the 12th reporting period. Very interesting.
Okay, so the analysis shows that managers do have an impact on the different levels of amortization. Yeah, by the way, if you're interested to know, listeners, you can go to the website and check out the report to find out exactly who were the slowest and who were the fastest to amortize. But Gabriele, what about vintage? Did this also offer any differentiation?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the elements that can dictate the amortization rate, as you say, is the transaction vintage. Each vintage can have different influences on the structure and on the manager ability to influence the portfolio and potentially trade within the amortization period. And obviously, as we mentioned before, transaction documentation evolves over time, and some vintages may offer more restrictions than others. The vintages could also be influenced by the BSL held within the portfolio. For example, a CLO with a 2022 vintage that is already amortizing could have a larger proportion of longer maturity loans held within the portfolio than a 2016 vintage transaction. Conversely, the 2016 vintage transaction has had ample time to turn over the portfolio to maintain a longer weighted average life than other vintages.
And what exactly did you find?
So KBRA analysis found that the vintage, in fact, play a role in the amortization profile of the transaction. So the 2020 vintage transaction showed the fastest amortization with an average factor of 0.5 as of the 7th period after the end of their investment period. The 2022 vintage amortized the slowest with a factor of only 0.92 after 7 periods. Looking out farther, the 2018 vintage started slower but amortized to 0 after 13 periods. And it was the slowest after 10 periods with a factor of 0.11.
Many thanks, as always, Gabriele. As Gabriele and I have outlined in our conversation today, transaction maturity timelines play an important role in the CLO market. KBRA's analysis of this recent element of the European CLO market, manager behavior can vary greatly after transactions have ended their reinvestment period. Further to that, a transaction vintage can also influence how rapidly a transaction is paid down. Transaction documentation plays an important role on both of these fronts. The current period represents an interesting test for the European CLO market as it faces a wave of existing transactions undergoing amortization. That's it from us today. As always, we hope these conversations in credit help to illuminate the many trends taking shape across the markets. For more in-depth coverage of the themes discussed today, or to learn more about our unique approach to credit, sign up to the KBRA website to read all of our research. Have a topic idea or comment you'd like to share? Or if you feel inspired for a discussion based on the conversation you just heard, reach out to me or one of the KBRA analysts on today's episode. Be sure to rate, share, and subscribe to the podcast so you can be notified when new content is available. Invite your colleagues as well. We'd love to count you all as informed listeners. This is Gordon Kerr thanking you for being part of the conversation. Take care, everyone.